All right, good singing. Psalms 8 tonight, if you have your Bibles with you. Psalms 8. We'll see how long we go tonight. It might be a little bit shorter. I had a message that I was working on, and there was kind of a couple of main thoughts in the message, and then the message got cut in half. I felt like the Lord wanted me to major on one, so then I kind of further developed the one this evening. So we'll see what it is the Lord has for us. But we're looking at the church of today, and it deals with children, the church of today. But we'll look at Psalm 8, and we'll spend the bulk of our time tonight in Psalms 8 and verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Lord, as we come before you, thank you once again for this time in your house. And as we look at this subject tonight, dealing with children, and we look at the church of today, I just ask you to encourage us and encourage our hearts, remind us of some things today, maybe even challenge us a little bit tonight when it comes to children and the blessing that they are to us, but also the blessing that they are to you and the work that you can do through them. Just ask you to help us remember some things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we recognize that God uses the unlikely. Now, when you... We know God does that, but we especially see this in the case of children, that God uses the unlikely. And it's not because children are inferior. It's because they're simple to a lot. They're unlearned to a lot. Faith is also easier for children. You know, we have to recognize the danger that is associated with getting older. The older we get, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we tend to rely on what we know. And faith at times can just kind of start dwindling out the window. Children don't so much have that problem because they don't know a whole lot just yet. And the Bible references the faith of a child multiple occasions because of that reason. And in many ways, those who are well ahead of children can minimize the impact that children can have on society and on the church and the work that children can do in the church. But I want to remind you tonight of some Bible figures. We think of Samuel. He was likely 12 years old. David, he was an older teenager, possibly 15 to 17. We think of Joseph, he was about 17 years old. Miriam, she was likely preteen or a young teen. Daniel was a teenager, likely 14 to 17. We think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were teenagers. Josiah was a king at 8 years old. Joash was a king at 7 years old. Jeremiah was called as a youth. Esther was likely mid-teen. You think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was traditionally around 14 to 16 years old, it is believed. The boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, likely young teen. Timothy, young in ministry, likely late teens or early 20s. Now, when we consider David and we looked at David, David knew this. David was speaking in Psalms 8 as a man who had been mightily used of God as a teenager. David was the man who said this to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 46. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So David knew firsthand Psalm 8:2, and he had put still the enemies of God, as he had referenced in Psalm 8 and verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So never minimize the words that leave the mouth of children, even babies. We see where David says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. The word ordained means appointed, instituted, established. So God has appointed, God has instituted, and he has established strength out of the mouth of babes. So if you think about this, how often have you been encouraged by testimonies of children? How often have you been encouraged by the songs of the children? How often have children encouraged you and I with their generous heart? Sometimes we got to be careful, and we got a couple of our boys that we have to be careful with, because they would probably literally give all their money to somebody. So kids, sometimes they just got that generous heart, or maybe encouraging words. Sometimes we think about how honest kids can be. You know, they just throw it out there. They've just thrown stuff out there to me a couple of times. Even my own boys. And sometimes you got to tell them, hey, you get a little bit too close to a line there that you ain't wanting to cross. But they're just honest. But they're also honest in good ways. Sometimes we get caught up on the ways that kids are honest in a negative sense. But sometimes they're honest in a good sense, and they say things to you to encourage you. I know, especially Colt, we all love Living Proof, but Colton especially loves Living Proof. And he lets them know all the time that he loves them. You see, and that's his way, even though he's young, that's his way of wanting to encourage them, that he's throwing his support behind them. I've had kids compliment the preaching. I've had kids compliment your teaching in the classes and things that they're learning from their teachers. Take these things, even though they're from kids, as encouragement. God has ordained strength to proceed out of their mouths. Just last Pie and Praise, one of our children's church workers mentioned how she was encouraged by the testimonies of the children. Some of you have mentioned how you've been encouraged by the testimonies of the children as they give their testimonies at Pie and Praise. Also, look at it this way. Most children could get by with saying certain things to adults that other adults could not get by with. Kids have a way of pulling on someone's heartstrings. Both of my oldest sons have led adults to Christ, shared the gospel with many adults, and adults listened to them. And I remember the first time I was nervous because one of them was fumbling around with the words and stuff, or using words that I wouldn't use. And I'm just nervous. I'm nervous. I am a nervous wreck. I'm standing right there and I'm a nervous wreck. But then I start seeing the gears are turning. They're listening. And I'm seeing the Lord use one of the boys with the vocabulary that they do have. Not my vocabulary, the vocabulary that they have. The Lord is using them. Right before we left Caesarea out on soul winning, Evan led a lady to the Lord who was in her 50s. Our kids have invited folks to church. Your kids have invited folks to church, handed out tracts, and people take them. We got to the point at sometimes where we would have an adult with a child knocking on doors. Or I should rephrase that. We had a child with the adults knocking on doors. Because people received the adult better if they had a child with them. The Bible says two by two. It don't say how old or how young or male or female, just two by two. But the point is, children are a huge part of the ministry. I hate to hear the term children are the church of the future, because they're the church of today. You can't raise them and treat them like the church of the future, and then when the future arrives, expect them to embrace a church just because they've reached a certain age. If we incorporate them into the Lord's work as they're growing up, if they feel a part of something, then when they reach that certain age, they're less likely to fall out. Sometimes we treat children as though they don't have a choice, failing to realize that one day they will have a choice. Most of us will say that our kids come to church and they don't have a choice, which is good. But remember, one day they will have a choice. It's kind of like in the Marines. Sometimes they treated us as though we were under contract. And we remember that when the contract was coming to an end. we remember that when the choice fell upon us and we were no longer going to be under contract, I remember you. Sometimes the one who was real jerkish was the one at the end of the day when your contract was coming to an end that wanted you to stay. It's like, no, I know who you are. You're trying to turn the charm on at the end when you want me to re-up. I ain't re-upping. I know as soon as I sign that line, the wind's going to, the temperature is going to change up in here. You're just trying to give me the sign. I've been at dealerships too, car dealerships. They're real nice when you walk in. But as soon as the deal's done, they don't even want to tell you where the restroom's at. It's just a number. They just wanted you to buy that car, and they'll be nice to you so long as you buy that car. Then after that, you're done. Not all of them's that way, but a lot of them's that way. So remember this verse in verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So babes, sucklings, are putting the enemies of God at steel. Spurgeon has something that's pretty powerful on this that he has to say on the matter. How often will children tell us of a God whom we have forgotten? How doth their simple prattle refute those learned fools who deny the being of God? Many men have been made to hold their tongues while sucklings have borne witness to the glory of the God of heaven. It is singular how clearly the history of the church expounds this verse. Did not the children cry Hosanna in the temple when proud Pharisees were silent and contemptuous? And did not the Savior quote these very words as justification of their infantile cries? Early church history records many amazing instances of the testimony of children for the truth of God, but perhaps more modern instances will further assist us. Fox tells us in the Book of Martyrs that when Mr. Lawrence was burnt in Colchester, he was carried to the fire in a chair because through the cruelty of the papists, he could not stand upright. Several young children came about the fire and cried as well as they could speak, Lord, strengthen thy servant and keep thy promise. God answered their prayer. For Mr. Lawrence died as firmly and calmly as one who could wish to breathe his last. When one of the papist chaplains told Mr. Wishart, the great Scotch martyr, that he had a devil in him, a child that stood by cried out, a devil cannot speak such words as yonder man speaketh. One more instance is still nearer to our time. In a postscript to one of his letters, in which he details the persecution, when first preaching in Moorfields, Whitfield says, I cannot help adding that several little boys and girls who were fond of sitting round me on the pulpit while I preached, handed to me people's notes, though they were often pelted with eggs, dirt, etc., thrown at me. Never once gave way, but on the contrary, every time I was struck, turned up their little weeping eyes and seemed to wish they could receive the blows for me. God make them in their growing years great and living martyrs for him, who out of the mouths of babes and sucklings perfect praise. He who delights in the songs of angels is pleased to honor himself in the eyes of his enemies by the praises of little children. What a contrast between the glory above the heavens and the mouths of babes and sucklings, yet by the name of God is made excellent. Powerful illustrations here where children were used for the advancement of kingdom. Amazing testimonies of children crying aloud during times of great persecution. The boldness that this had to take. This took spiritual strength as men are being martyred for their faith. For children to cry aloud for that same faith. It took strength for young people to surround the pulpit as Whitfield preached, and those children received the same punishment that he was. Eggs and dirt and things thrown their way. But also, what an encouragement for Whitfield to know that as he was preaching, he wasn't alone. Children were down below holding up his arms as Aaron did for Moses. And I'm telling you tonight, God uses children. Even if adults won't, oftentimes children will. We should not minimize the faith of young people. And I, for one, won't minimize the faith of someone, regardless of age, that's willing to walk the uphill climb of not only being saved, but desiring to be Christ-like. You know, we don't hit on it very much, but children who seek after God will also have less friends. Children who try to do right oftentimes will be picked on for it. Oftentimes they'll be made fun of for it. Oftentimes they'll be belittled for it. They'll have less friends for it. Children on bus routes all over America, and we've seen some of this, as they come to trust Christ as their personal Savior, they go home. Best thing that's ever happened to them, they go home. They tell their mama and daddy, the ones who should be excited for them, but they don't know. Their parents don't understand. They'll be attacked by their own mothers and fathers and siblings as they curse the God that saved them. Children who love God and seek to be devoted to Him will also be persecuted for their faith. There'll also be times they'll have a teacher or maybe other adults single them out. I don't care how old or how young you are, the path of the Christian life will bring about persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And they'll learn too, right off the bat, that there are people out there that want to see them fall. I just heard from somewhere, I don't remember where it was, so I don't remember any of the names either, who it was that told me, because I don't remember. But I remember it blowing my mind. So somebody told me, though, that there was a believer working in a place, and they were known for not using any cuss words. And somebody told him, I'll give you $100 if you'll just say a cuss word. And it's crazy that the world, they want you to come down to them. To the point they'd give you $100 just to see you do it. It's an amazing thing. And I know one of the examples my wife was telling me about, that her and a couple of her co-workers were put in a freezer. This part I do remember. We're put in a freezer at Subway, and they said, if you say a bad word, we'll let y'all out. But then customers came, and they end up having to get let out because customers came. But it's crazy. It's crazy. That was back in high school. My wife was working at Subway up north. But it's crazy. The world will go to some extent sometimes just to get you to come off of where you're at. But again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This says all, and all means all. No matter young or old, if you set out to live godly, if you set out on being holy as the Lord is holy, the word shall is in this verse. It will take place. You will be persecuted. It may not be at the stake for your life, but you may be looked over at times. You may be ignored at times. There was times without a doubt in my mind, and this ain't some kind of pride, I could look around and see who the bad workers was, and I knew I wasn't one of them. And I knew I was on the outside looking in there because of who I was and because of what I stood for. And you know what? I just wasn't in the circle. You see, the world's going to embrace their own. You got to realize that. If you're a Christian in the workplace, the world's just going to value their own more than you. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. They might get the promotion. They might not be the best worker, but they might get the promotion. I remember that pallet shop I was working at. Guys would pay off the forklift drivers to bring them the good pallets that needed less work so that they could get them back out and they could give more money. It's like, I'm not paying y'all off. I'm not doing that. So you know what? I would get the bad pallets. But you know what? but the Lord blessed me. The Lord blessed me. I wasn't at the top, but I knew what it took to get to the top too. Just like, you know what? I'm not trying to get to the top that bad. It's like, I'm not going to go buy you a cheeseburger from Dairy Queen so that you give me a nice deck of pallets. That was all kinds of stuff they give them forklift drivers just to get good pallets to come in their aisle to work on. You might get passed up on some stuff. You might get looked over for some stuff. You might not get invited to get-togethers after work with folks. You may not have a whole lot of close friends at the workplace. But like I told y'all before, I'm thankful for the fact that they didn't come to me to drink with them, but they did come to me with prayer requests. So I appreciate that because they knew I was on the outside of them. They knew that. Now, I was still friendly with them. I'd have conversations with them. If they needed something, I'd help them. I was a good friend to them. But I couldn't let them influence me. You'll have a longer and harder walk versus others that are in the world system. But stay faithful. See, many Christians end up living in the middle because they can't handle the rejection of the world if they live too godly. Many, and I tell you what, it's dangerous for us. It is. We got to wake up and we got to set our minds to the fact every day that the acceptance of the world is not a priority of ours. It can't be. We can't set out to go about our day with the acceptance of the world as a priority. Because if we're accepted by the world, we're really not going to be able to reach them. We've lost that. Remember tonight, children are the church of today. In Psalm 8 and verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy of the avenger. So again, be reminded tonight that children are the church of today. Not exhaustive here tonight, but what I believe the Lord would have us to deal with.